And I'm here on the K&M Podcast. Ken Brown from WGR Radio. Michael Hare, DetroitLions.com, as we talk Lions football. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Ken Brown. Another great victory Monday.
Oh, my goodness. And like 15 weeks ago, we've been doing these. This is week 15. Could you believe we are where we are on December 19th with the Lions at a 7-7 record? Pretty much to me. I know the official thing is not out, but they pretty much control their own destiny. They win the last three games. They're going to the playoffs. That's just the way it is, 90% of the time.
Well, I would think they would. I'm not sure. But let's get to 10-7, and we'll find out what it does for them. That, you know, when they were 1-6, I didn't envision them being 7-7. But I could see that incrementally they were getting better. They were scoring. You know, they're still having issues on defense, but they've cleaned up some of that, not all of it. But you could see that it was a better team than the team that left after last season. It really was.
Yeah. I don't want to spend too much time on yesterday's game. I do want to go over a few things because, to me, if you're – I'm saying the Lions are on a 10-game stretch. Dan Campbell said 6 games he's talking about, but really it started when they were 1-6. And to be up every week, every game, without having a miscue game is hard. And I think yesterday was the miscue game that could have been a loss because you just can't play to that level every week. And yesterday, to me, I thought there were a few things that got away from them or a little sloppy, and they overcame that and won. Like I said, I'll never, ever cry about a victory, but that was a game that could have been lost if you weren't playing your best against a good defense. But they overcame it.
Well, if you go to DetroitLions.com, the Lions website, and you go and click on to Dan Campbell's postgame speech to his team, that's exactly what he said. He said, look, you will never not take a victory because they're too hard to get. Take winning no matter what. But he said, we've got some things to work on. And he's right on both counts. You take the win and you move on and you clean up what you have to clean up. And there were some obvious things in yesterday's game.
Which is the best kind of victory? Which is the best kind
of
victory
for them
now? Well, this is the best kind because you got your team's attention because you know you didn't play your best. You still won, so you didn't get the punishment. It's like stealing candy, but you just got sent to your room instead of a spanking. You know, you didn't get the spanking. You got sent to your room. So you're getting the punishment, but you're not getting the ultimate punishment because you took a victory out. So I think the team will be more attentive this week.
Well, they could be. You never know. I mean, look, you're not going to be up all 17 games, just not the way it is. I mean, look at the Dallas Cowboys, supposed to be leading contenders just 3 weeks ago in the NFC, falling apart. Can't win.
Yeah. Yeah, and New England. I mean, there are teams that have traditionally been winning, teams that don't make stupid plays. All of a sudden, now they make stupid plays. You know, it's just you never know what's going on. I'll tell you one thing, though, before we get to this Jets game yesterday. That Jacksonville Jaguar game doesn't look – that looks an even more impressive victory now. Because
well,
the Jaguars and the Lions, to me, are those two teams that are coming up.
Well, the Jaguars have won 4 of their last 6, I think it is, or 5 of their last – 4 of their last 6. And they had some pretty good wins there. You know, they really have. They've beaten – like yesterday, they had a good win. They've beaten the Vikings. So it's a pretty good ball club. It really is.
Yes,
it is. They've got a good young quarterback, too, to build with.
Yeah. And like I said, those are two ascending teams to me that were 1-2 in the draft last year. So I'm just saying that 40 piece you put on them back a couple weeks ago, that was between that game and the games before and after, they've played really well. So that makes it even more impressive victory. Now, yesterday in the road against a very good defensive team, you look at the numbers and you really don't know. I told you I looked at them play Buffalo last week, but the Jets' defense is really impressive. And without their best defensive player.
Well, their best defensive lineman, yeah, but they're strong in the secondary. They're strong a lot of places. You know, they really made the Lions work for everything. But in the end, I think the Lions made a coaching decision there at the end that won the game. They won that battle, coach versus coach.
Yeah.
That's the touchdown pass
to
Brock Wright.
Yeah.
No doubt about it in my mind.
Yeah.
They completely bamboozled. That's a sports term, by the way. They completely bamboozled the Jets on that play. It just a great, great play call by Ben Johnson.
Not even a great play call, but a great setup because you set plays like that up later in the game by stuff you show on film either the weeks before or during the game. Because I saw one of the Jets say, we watched every piece of film they had. We never saw them do that out of that formation. You know, so these are things you set up, and it was a perfect call at a perfect time.
No, absolutely, Kenny. And it started first play of that seven-play possession. It started with Brock Wright dropping the ball.
Yeah.
Easy pass right over the middle, went right through his hands.
A lot of people are saying they might have dropped it on purpose now to set him up real good, but I'm not buying that. But, you know.
Never. That's, no. You don't drop balls because he had a nice game there. He's wide open.
Right,
but they come back to him on the last play in 51 yards, and bingo. I mean, there was – I watched that replay like seven or eight times last night, and there was nobody near him until he got down to about the 20-yard line, and you could see his teammate, you know, the wide receivers catching up to him to block for him. It was just a really – really, that's a great, like I said, great play call by Ben Johnson, great execution by the players, and really they finished it off with sort of a convoy into the end zone.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm not gonna spend a lot of time on it just because it was a tough game. The offense to me could have been better. It was a golf away from home game. I thought that he was a little conservative passing game. I understand they didn't want to, you know, air it out or whatever. They didn't want to turn the ball over. That's the way it looked to me. They were going to play a tight game. He underthrew the one that Jamison Williams, and that's two times he's underthrown him in 2 weeks now. Either they need to get some more reps together, or he should just decide he's going to overthrow everything deep to Jamil and see if he catches it or not, because Jamil's got too much speed to be underthrown. Jamil was 2 yards ahead of that guy, you know, and you got to make that play.
Yeah, it would have opened up some things if they had made that play. It really would have.
Yeah, I think it's about time. You know, like I said, it's hard. I was trying to tell a lot of people, it's hard to incorporate a receiver in December because you don't practice as much as you did during camp and, you know, early. You just got to get in when you fit in, and I think Jameson knows it. I think Goff knows it, you know. He had 21 snaps I see this week, which is a good amount coming up. But there will be a game in these next three where you're going to need him, and I think he'll be ready for it. But I'm just saying that right now you just got to get in where you fit in if you're Jameson Williams.
Well, look at yesterday's game, though, Ken, and you talk about Jameson Williams. You know, role players made key plays. Look at Khalif Raymond.
Exactly.
He had a 47-yard punt return for a touchdown, and he also played 20 snaps on offense and had six targets, five receptions, 53 yards with a long catch of 18 yards. You talk about a guy playing his role to the hilt. That was Khalif Raymond yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. Now, things I am disturbed about, this is 2 weeks in a row. I think the secondary has been bad, and we'll see how long Deshaun Elliott is out for. If he's out, he went out of the game yesterday, and I know there wasn't any word on it yesterday. But if he has to miss any amount of time, what has happened to the pass defense the last couple of weeks?
Well, I don't think it's ever been great this year. I really don't. I think it's been okay. I think it's risen to the level of okay plus a couple of times, but it's been an issue. Look, teams have been able to run on. First of all, the quarterbacks have been able to run on them, and they've also been able to complete passes on them. And look at the Minnesota game a couple 3 weeks ago. What do you pass for? 450 yards, something like that? That's concerning. It really is.
Yeah, and Jeff Okuda didn't have the greatest of games yesterday either. He was sick last week, but he didn't play a lot last week and had a couple of penalties. I'm just wondering, is the league catching up to him? Are they just a lack of attention, or is it just things young secondaries go through?
I think it's probably the latter, young secondaries, young quarterbacks go to. You know, the Jets really have some good wide receivers. They really do, but I don't think they necessarily dominated the game yesterday. But the Lions did have some big breakdowns against, to me, a very mediocre NFL quarterback.
You're being kind.
I said mediocre.
Yes, you're being kind. You're being kind.
He was playing street ball. The other guys were playing football.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about the Jets anymore. I know everybody wants to talk. I want to move on past them. That, like I said, we take it and run, man, because that was the game I was always worried about, you know, when they started the six-game run, because it was on the road against a tough defense. I didn't know what the weather was going to be like. just take the run and get out of there. And, you know, thank goodness you play another week. So now this is the next test. Last week's test was on the road against a tough defense. The week before it was the home team against your division rival. This week is to come to play a team that's lesser than on the road at their place that just came off a loss. And you should go out and show your dominance right away. Don't go around messing around with this team. Don't go around letting them think they can win. Go put it on them and get out of there.
Well, I don't think you've seen any lack of effort or preparation for the Lions in any of these, you know, from opening day when they got beat by the Eagles 38-35 to what we saw yesterday against the New York Jets. And I think the Lions come in and they play hard, but they don't always play, you know, they don't always play well. I don't see any lethargy on the Detroit Lions. I don't see them any taking things for granted. I really don't. I do think that they've got an issue against, you know, defending the pass, and they've had an issue defending against running quarterbacks. I think, I'm not sure that Sam Darnold will give them that tough of a test on Sunday, but he certainly can.
Well, now, I've been negative on that. We're talking about the pass defense and the D-backs and not playing good. But I got to throw flowers to the defensive line and the running. They have not allowed a 100-yard runner in so long. They're really playing. The defensive line is playing good. They're not letting teams run. What they have yesterday running, I'm looking at the stats here. They had
23 carries for 50 yards.
50 yards the week before. Minnesota couldn't run on them. I mean, they've had good running backs, ATN with Jacksonville. So they have locked down. Remember, they were getting ran on early in the season. They have locked that part down. And if I had to take
– A lot of that's come from quarterbacks, okay? You know, those yards are really inflate the totals.
Right, I understand. But I'm just saying that, you know, they have really changed from the beginning of the season against running backs, and they have locked that part down. And I'll take – the bad pass defense, if I had to take a choice of the two, if you can stop the run, that's, to me, three-fourths of your defensive identity, because the passing game comes and goes. You know that. If you told me you could stop one of them, which one would you stop?
Well, I'd take the run, but I just don't think you can live forever with a bad pass defense. You really can't.
No.
Because when they start converting third downs on you, it really makes it a tough day.
But if you have a bad pass defense or not as good a pass defense, but you have a nice pass rush, that's going to help you out. And the Lions right now have a nice pass rush. So I take the stop the run, and I got a nice pass rush, and I let it play from there.
Well, one thing we saw yesterday was Romeo Okwara really make his presence felt. You know, he had two sacks, and those were in key situations, critical situations, especially that last possession by the Jets when they got, what is it, 3rd and 19, and they converted it into a first down. It was 4th and 19, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, the front four did its job on that one, but for some reason, guys were able to get open deep in the secondary.
Right. Like I said, too, Mike, I forgot he hasn't played in so long. I kind of forgot how good Romeo Okwara was until I started looking at him yesterday, and I'm like, yeah, he's long. He gets to the, he can pass rush. He can do things for you. And he was the number one guy a couple of years ago. Now, you know, you bringing him in as the second guy on the other side of Aiden Hutchinson. And if Charles Harris gets back in there before the end of the year, I mean, you're going to have fresh pass rushes all the time. Houston, Hutchinson, Okwara, the other Okwara brother, now Charles Harris. I mean, that's a strength.
Well, the other Okwara brother's on injured reserve right now, so I don't know when you're going to see him.
Well, true.
But Romeo had one. He had two sacks, and those were big ones. And James Houston, that bookie's got 5 sacks in 4 games. I think that's there's a record for everything these days, you know. But I think that's the most ever in the first 4 games by a rookie. I think they announced that the other in yesterday's game. Whatever it is, whether it's a record or not, it's pretty good production by a guy who probably figured wasn't going to play at all this year.
Pretty good. On the offensive side for the Lions rushing, I thought Swift should have got more carries. He was 8 for 52, 6.5 average. I thought I'd like to see him get more carries as we go forward. Jamal Williams now still good, still the hammer, but I'm I, I won't, It looks like he's lost a little explosiveness over the course of this year. He's more of a, you know, inside the tackle, thumper runner now. I think it's time to put Swift out there. If he gets hurt, he gets hurt. Put him out there and give him some carries.
Well, I don't agree with you. I think he's being used just fine. And what he gets in addition to his carries is he gets targets in the passing game too. And that's what you want him for. And all due respect to Jamal Williams. You know, he had a touchdown called back too on what I think was a phantom holding call.
Yeah, but he's been averaging a low rate the last few weeks. And I just see he's not as springy as he was early in the year. And like I said, it comes over the course of a year. It happens. I'm not saying he can't bounce back from it, but I'm just saying between Jackson, Williams, and Swift, I like to see a few more carries go to, you know, Swift and Jackson. So just to keep it fresh. So anyway, like I said, it's a nice problem to have. Yeah, but the running game was better yesterday. They ran for over 100 yards, and that's my key. Can you get over 100 yards rushing?
Yeah, that was a little different than last week, too, when 42 of those, they went over 100 a year last week, too, but 42 of those yards came on a fake punt, and those get, you know, those get tacked onto your rushing stats. So I thought that was a little bit misleading, in fact, a lot misleading on how they played in a run game offensively.
Exactly. All right, so it was on to Carolina this week, who lost to Pittsburgh yesterday. Not really impressive. Decent defense. They're limited offensively. They traded away their best player, McCaffrey, to San Francisco earlier in the year. So they got DJ Moore, good receiver, good, not great receiver. And it's a Saturday game on a short week. So this looks like a game the Lions are favored by 3 that I want to see the offense perform. So I want to see the offense put some points up on the board.
Well, I do too, but all I want to see them do it from here on in, just win games. I'm not into building or anything like that. Just come out with W's, and however you do it, do it. What I'm looking forward to is seeing them getting into the Week 18, 17th game at the Green Bay. I'd like to see that game flexed to Sunday night, the last game of the season. I don't know if that's going to happen. Probably not. But
no, we don't want to play on Sunday night in Green Bay.
Well, I do.
January.
I do.
No, it's going to be too cold. But I don't want. I don't want a cold. You know, I have nightmares of that Roy Williams Sunday night or Thursday, whatever night that game was in Green Bay, where the guy fumbles out of the end zone, remember, and they give him instead of giving him a safety, they give him. I just don't want to see a night game in Green Bay in January. I just don't want to do it. But I understand where you're coming from. Plus, I hope they've already clinched a playoff berth by that week, which is possible.
Possible, but unlikely.
No, not unlikely. I'm looking at this thing right here. This is what? The Lions can win with 9 games if one of these things happens. Seattle loses to San Francisco, Kansas City, and the Jets. That all those are possible. New York Giants loses to Washington, Minnesota, Green Bay. They didn't lose to Washington, but Minnesota, Green Bay. Or Washington loses to the Giants, San Francisco, and Dallas. They've already lost to the Giants. Only two of those last two have to happen. And I can see the Washington losing to San Francisco and Dallas. So the Lions can win with 9, get in with 9 wins. And if that happens, the last week will be you can play it how you want to.
No, I don't disagree with that. I think the Lions are in a pretty good spot. Number one, they've got to take care of their own business and then worry about what everybody else does after that.
Just go ahead and knock them out. Like knock out these next two.
First of all, I want them to make it. I really do. I mean, full disclosure, I want them to win and get in the playoffs. I just think it would be a great thing. Number two, if I have my druthers, I want to see them beat the Packers in the last game of the season too. I just think it would be a great finish to the season. And I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to also is the Lions beating Carolina Panthers. And I want to see that stadium in the last home game of this season against the Chicago Bears. I mean, that place is going to rock. It really is.
It should. Now, speaking before we go, the Rams are playing Green Bay tonight.
Ugh.
Who do you want to win that game? Are you going for the pick, or are you going to get Green Bay eliminated so that last game they might not even play Aaron Rodgers? What do you want to see tonight?
You want Green Bay eliminated. It's not even a question. What are you talking about?
Well, if the Rams lose, though, you get a better pick. That's what I'm talking about.
Christ.
You don't care about that pick? It's number 4 right now.
Very wonderful. Who are they going to take?
Doesn't matter. It goes all the way up to maybe 9 or 10 if they win another game. I'm just saying, you're talking about 6-spot fluctuation by one game.
I think people are entirely wrapped up too much in the draft thing. I think it's ridiculous.
Oh, listen to them. In April, you be the one. In April, the first one. Oh, my goodness, they could have had so-and-so.
No. Hey, you've never heard me say that.
Well, I don't have to check the tapes and see if I ever heard that before. But
you're making it up. You're fabricating.
Hey, one last question before we go, Mike. Would T.J. Hockenson have been open on that player, they would have checked him? They would have been more apropos to watching him. Brock Wright, I think they just didn't even watch. The reason I'm saying this is I just think that the T.J. Hockenson trade, as good as a player as he was, it opened up other things. I think the blocking has gotten better. I can see how Wright is such a better inline tight end. And a lot of these plays that have been going on the last few weeks, he was needed in the game. I can see that's Dan Campbell's type of tight end.
Well, I think even with the one drop and it came late in the game, I think he played 40 of the 68 snaps, something like that. And I think they rotated, three tight ends in different roles and all that.
Yeah.
And
the rookie got a couple of passes yesterday, Mitchell.
Yeah. Steve Mitchell. Yeah, I saw that.
James Mitchell. Yeah, so they're coming on.
What I call it. I keep calling him Steve.
Yeah, I hope you don't call him to him when you talk to him. I hope you don't call him Steve.
Of course not. I call him Mr. Mitchell.
Mr. Mitchell. All right, so that's it, Mike. We will not be doing a Friday game time this week. So if you want to give a prediction now, you can. Or if not, we'll just wait till next week and say you predicted.
What do you thought I did? No, I'll take the Detroit Lions in this one, and I'll take the Lions. I don't think it's going to be high scoring. I don't think the Lions are going to explode on anybody right now. I really don't. I just don't have that sense that they're clicking offensively like they were earlier in the year. I'll take the Detroit Lions 29-16.
I'm going to take Detroit 33-17 for the third consecutive week.
Oh, almost the same.
I'm just saying the third consecutive week I've had the score, so I'm just going to keep this score going until as long as they're winning.
It's sort of like you got a lucky penny in your shoe.
That's exactly right.
Hold on a second. Just a minute, Mr.
Yes.
Let me ask you this. Did you change your pick again, by the way? Did you end up taking the Jets after telling our listeners, our valuable listeners, that you're picking the Lions?
No.
Did you change your pick?
I picked the Lions.
You didn't change your pick on Sunday?
No. Why would I change it?
Okay.
I took the Lions. And, when I do my picks on Friday on the Mitch Albom Show on WJI, I picked the Lions, and I picked them when we did our game time, 33-17.
Okay. Okay.
Now, I was shaky. I was scared about that game, but I said I'm going to pick them because they're playing good.
Okay.
So I'm picking them again. I'm picking them the rest of the year.
Wow, wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't it be great to be picking them in February?
Well, I don't know about that. But look, I just for this year, like I said, which I had no idea they would even be getting to the playoffs, let alone fighting for playoff position. I am happy where they're at, and I just think that the progress, you see it, and there's a few issues that, you know, free agency and the draft will take care of next year, but as long as they don't lose too many coaches in the offseason, I just think this is the arrow trending upward.
All right, let me ask you one thing before we go. Have the Lions already checked enough boxes for this year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But now, let me tell you that. I'm writing that check in pencil. Because if they go get blown out the last three games and revert back to terrible Lions, then no, they didn't check the boxes. That means that was a failure. But as long as they are playing hard, don't do anything dumb, and finish the season out the way they're playing now. Even if it's not a playoff, you know, victory or playoff run, if it's just a good last three games, then yeah, the boxes have been checked.
Okay.
So it's too early for that question right now, Mr. Mike O'Hare.
No, it's not. It's never too early.
But put it like this.
All right.
The season is not a failure. If you want to say it's a season of failure, that's gone. That's already gone. There's no failure in the season from right now, even if they lose the last three.
Well, I can't see them losing the last three.
I can't either, but I'm just saying, even if it happened, there's no failure. They've accomplished what they came into this year to accomplish, showing the guys how to win and seeing who's going to be there for you.
All right, I agree with you.
All right. All right, that's Michael Hare, DetroitLions.com. Ken Brown from WJR Radio. See Frank Ragnow, or hear Frank Ragnow this afternoon, 5:35, I'm assuming, because he's been all over the board with his times lately. But 5:35 is the tentative time on the Mitch Albom Show, WJR. All right, Michael, see you next week.
All right, Ken Brown.
Yep.